It is The Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris and Dr. Helen, and we're talking this week about the science of extremes and how the human body can cope with them. We've heard about diving down to incredibly uncanny, unfeasible depths, something like hundreds of metres down. Now we're going to find out about going, well, thousands of metres up in the air. Major Todd Dartz from the US Air Force. Hi, Todd.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Now, it sounds pretty trivial. You just get an aeroplane and fly it, but what sorts of forces and G-forces will people who are flying very fast planes actually be experiencing?
Well, it all depends. Fighter aircraft, for example, pull up to upwards of 9 Gs in the aircraft. That's what we call 9 positive Gs, or the vector going from the head down to the feet.
And in real terms, what does that mean, Todd?
In real terms, it means you have to be able to get that blood, keep that blood up to your brain so you don't lose consciousness eventually, if you don't have some sort of way of keeping the blood from pulling down. So we have a lot of mechanisms that we have to train the pilots to do, fighter pilots specifically, and also technology that we use to help keep that blood up to the brain.
So are you saying that you would tell people not to make maneuvers that might subject them to these 9 Gs? Because I suppose to put that in perspective, 9 Gs, if your head is feeling a force of 9 Gs, the weight of your head is effectively 9 times bigger than normal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, in the military environment, sometimes you have to pull 9 Gs. So you have to come up with ways to counter that. And the way we do that is we provide them training on like a human centrifuge, and there are 2 of the Air Force uses for that. And what we do is we'll put them on there and we train them how to use the equipment. We put them in G suits, which only gives you about maybe a 1G increase or so in G tolerance. And the main thing we do is we train them on how to perform what was called an anti-G straining maneuver.
So when you say you wear a suit, this suit puts pressure on the body, squeezing, say, on the legs, and this stops blood from pooling in the legs. Is that the sort of way it's done?
Yes, exactly. It's an abdominal. In fact, I know you're a medical doctor, you're probably familiar with the old mask suit. And that was developed from, or prevent shock, and that was developed from the G-suits used in the military. And what it does is it has a bladder there. A typical G-suit has a bladder, abdominal bladder, and bladders in the leg. Some have cover the whole leg. Some only have bladders that cover certain parts of the leg. And it squeezes the leg as soon as you hit about 2 Gs and helps get that blood up to your brain.
So that's the blood going away from the brain. But what about if you do the maneuver the other way? Does this force the blood into your brain, and can that be dangerous?
Yes, it can. In fact, we can't tolerate very much of that. We can only about negative 3 Gs, what's called negative G, and that's about as much as we can handle before we start getting what's called red out. You're getting so much blood up into the brain that it ends up engorging your eyes, you get some rupturing, and it can cause some headaches, and it's very uncomfortable. So pilots don't like to do those. And so
not surprisingly. So how can you compensate for these effects? What can you say to people? What do people actually do to avoid feeling these effects?
Well, to avoid the negative Gs, what pilots will do is they'll simply roll the aircraft and pull positive Gs. They don't, and most aircraft are not designed to pull negative Gs because it's uncomfortable. And we are evolutionary adapted to handle 1G pretty well. So we have physiological and anatomical mechanisms that are designed to help get that blood up to the brain, check valves in the veins, and we also have cardiovascular reflexes. And we rely on those as well to help give us that tolerance we need to get up there. And what we normally do is they help pull those positive Gs, and we'll get them in the G-suit, and we'll get them in the aircraft. We train them how to do a good straining maneuver, and they will start their strain and before they even get a chance to go much higher in Gs. And so they're starting their strain to get that blood up to their brain that they need so they can last. They'll pull Gs maybe 10, 15 seconds.
Do you find that there are some people who just can never be trained to go up that far and to experience this kind of extreme conditions? Aren't some people better than others?
Some are. There's a lot of individual variation, and most people start to lose consciousness if they were relaxed between 5 and 7 Gs. But normally, if the taller you are, the less able you are to handle the Gs, and that's because it depends a lot on the heart-to-brain distance. The greater the distance, the more distance you have to pump the blood up to the brain, and that's more strain, and you have to maintain a higher blood pressure to do that. So people who tend to do a little bit better on average are those who tend to be short.
So can you sort of, when you put people on your human centrifuge, can you tell who's going to be okay and who's going to have problems?
We have a general idea. It's not 100%, of course. I've seen people who are very tall, thin marathon runners who are fighter pilots who do great, who do wonderful. And
So Tom Cruise really would be a good fighter pilot then, because he's nice and short like me.
Yes, he might be a better fighter pilot because those who tend to be shorter tend to do better.
So what about women? Because obviously, at the moment, the military tends to select in favour of men. Is there an anatomical reason for that? Or is it just because, historically, it's always been blokes who've gone to war and the women haven't so much until more recently?
Well, the U.S. Air Force, we have female fighter pilots as well. So, and we found out many years ago, in fact, that there really is very little difference between men and women in terms of the G tolerance. Women do just as well as men do, on average.
Okay, well, look, Todd, thank you very much for joining us on The Naked Scientist.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for
telling us about how we can survive extreme Gs and human centrifuges.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's Major Todd Dart, who is from the US Air Force, talking about how we can put people in centrifuges and get them prepared for the kind of forces they're going to experience when they are up high in an aeroplane.
Do you fancy doing that, Chris? Going up and experiencing huge numbers of G's and spinning around in the air?
I'd quite like to have a go on the vomit comet, actually.
Oh, when you've experienced zero gravity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you see in the last year or so, people did the first operation on the vomit comet where they had people flying down and they took off a sebaceous cyst from a guy's arm? I remember when Dr. Phil was here last year, he was telling
us
about
it. Why was the benefit of that?
Well, because we need to be able to show you can do microsurgery or surgical techniques in microgravity, because if we're going to do long space missions in the future, we need to know if someone needs something doing that we can do it and do it safely. No one had ever tried doing an operation effectively in space before, and now we know that they can. It was a bit dodgy though, because you've got to do about 30 descents, because the plane goes up to a very high altitude, then comes back down again, and they had to do about 30 times to give the surgeons enough time to complete this operation. And if you're feeling a bit queasy and you've got your arm half kind of cut open and you're thinking, can we just land now? No, because we haven't finished the operation.
Oh, it sounds dreadful. I think I'd prefer to stay under the water, definitely.